are listening to Clear Mind Events Podcast.
So welcome to episode one, guys.
Thank you.
Clear Mind Events Podcast episode one.
Cheers.
Cheers. You never forget your first.
Unless you want to.
This is true. So Reese, do you want to kick us off by explaining a little bit about what we do at Clear Mind Events?
Yeah, so Clear Mind Events was actually inspired by an attendee at Aftershock. We provide release space for people experiencing symptoms related to PTSD, anxiety disorders, or sensory processing disorders without having to leave the venue. So a veteran that was experiencing symptoms related to PTSD at Aftershock in 2019, and he had to leave the venue, self-manage his symptoms, and he wasn't allowed back in. And so he was talking through the gates to his family, and I asked, well, what could help you? Like, what could have been different in the situation? And he's like, I just needed someone else to talk to, another place to go. So I thought that was a really simple solution to where we could just have a space for anyone that knew how to manage their symptoms without having to leave the venue.
You know, the whole goal was providing a space within music venues and festivals for people who struggle with, like you said, anxiety, depression, PTSD, autism, other things that can cause sensory overload. You know, unless you go to venues or festivals, you don't realize that once you're in, that's it. There is no re-entry. And most of that is for security reasons, right? But, you know, if you have that moment where you're just so overwhelmed and so overloaded and that place is packed, it's like, where can you go to decompress, right?
I think that's the importance of this is because it's such a simple solution that so many people have been like, why haven't you thought of this before? And it's not like they need, you know, a whole special place or anything. Everyone just needs a moment to chill. It's not going to be a drop off your drunk friend. It's not anything like that. You just need a space that you can self-manage and get a break from and rejoin. And that's a lot of people's apprehension to going to these events with their friends and family. And avoiding events isolates us from our friends and family. So having something like that, that people can go to, will allow a lot of people to reconsider whether they can attend an event or not.
I had a friend who they wanted to go to the Arnold with us. And for people who don't know about that, it's a very huge fitness expo that happens in Columbus, Ohio every year. Had a friend who's a veteran and would have loved it. I mean, but with his PTSD, the amount of people in that space, even though it's such a huge area, everybody, I mean, at one point, I mean, we were like body to body. It was a Saturday. It was so packed. It was so crowded. He would have lost his ever loving mind. It would not have been a good space for him. And I, you know, it never occurred to me to offer something like that until I found myself in a situation where I was absolutely overloaded and just had to get the fuck out. And then you have that huge buyer's remorse because you left, but there's that fight or flight, right? What are you going to do?
Right. And there's a lot of weirdness associated with mental health, but a lot of it is that momentary of just stress, and you don't have to make a permanent decision such as leaving. You just need that 5, 10, 15 minutes to yourself. And that's what we provide. And there's a lot of nonprofits and charities that focus on bringing awareness and you know, making it socially acceptable, but nobody's really doing anything about it. And I think that's where we're different, to where we actually provide that space to where it's okay if you're at an event and you get that, you know, moments where you need to go self-manage your symptoms and do what you need to do to reintegrate with your friends and family, but you don't have to make a permanent decision of leaving.
My friend had to leave Aftershock in 2017, and she had never seen Nine Inch Nails. And I got her tickets years ago. We couldn't go. So this was the part she was really, really excited about. And all the people, she had so much anxiety that she bailed during the band that she came to see, you know. So I mean, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Very much so. And I'm happy that we are starting to see this movement where instead of being this shiny, happy, picture perfect person on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, you have people that they are sharing their meltdowns and their moments of weaknesses, not for attention, but to destigmatize it. And, you know, if it helps one person just hang in there, then it was worth it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people that want to, the way that people get even more depressed or socially isolate themselves is they get invited to go to these events with their friends and family, but then they don't want to go because that, what if I have to make a scene and take an Uber home because I couldn't handle the situation? What if this, what if that? So they don't go. But now what if your what if is, I think I can handle this, but I have somewhere to go. And it, there's, it's not mental health services. There's not any, you know, therapist there. It's legit just a space that you can go to self-manage your symptoms. But I think that's enough to get a lot of people that out there and will try. And there's a lot of studies that are focusing on people taking ownership of their and by recovery, I mean going out there and try to reintegrate themselves into society if you have a social anxiety or depression, because we tend to isolate ourselves in those situations. So I think this is just that little bit that it makes so much sense that if we just offer it, it's enough that will get people to go out and take steps that they weren't prepared to do before because they have somewhere to go.
I love that so much.
You know, I will say personally, I was upset with my friend when she had to leave. And then the next night she didn't come. And it's because I didn't have that anxiety, you know, but actually getting involved with you guys has helped me understand a little bit more of how that really does happen. Like, you know, a lot more frequently I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what a, you know, what a buzzkill. Why does she want to go? And she was trying to explain it to me. And it's not that I'm insensitive. I didn't totally understand because I have anxiety in other ways.
Well, I thought it might be cool. Maybe we let the fellas go first and introduce themselves.
My name's Devin. I'm from Louisville here in Kentucky. Reese actually reached out to me when she was trying to find someone to help do a website for. Apparently she'd been getting put around the ringer from multiple people trying to help her, and nobody was willing to really do anything for.
No, I lost money on Reddit, so I paid somebody that like strung me along and didn't do anything. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, she kind of explained to me what, you know, what it is she was wanting. I really supported the mission behind it. I jumped on, I think instantly. Within a couple days, we were up and working on the website. I'm not a sufferer of anxiety or depression or anything. I have severe ADHD, which can sometimes, you know, lead into some of the effects. But it's, you know, it's a good organization. I don't like to really get behind things unless I, you know, truly don't believe that they're going to go somewhere. And this has the ability to go far. Especially now with COVID, I mean, people are really realizing how severe their stuff is. It was a no-brainer for me to jump on board.
And I think you're right with the now more than ever with COVID, because with everyone being required to stay home, it's very easy to get into that social isolation thing. It's very hard to start getting out there. We start feeling more awkward with our presentations and double guessing like what we're saying or how we're looking because we've been isolated. We've been in our homes. So I think it's very, very important now more than ever for this nonprofit to flourish, because we want to encourage people to engage in their communities because it's the number one thing for mental health. We need to be a part with other people and friends and family and get out there. And I think it's very important that they have a space and acknowledgement of let's get out and do stuff. And this is new because we're all going to have to re-engage in our communities.
My name's Eric. I've known got to know Reese through the special secret admin group. And this kind of came up as an idea. And I immediately, as a veteran, both military and as a first responder, I do have PTSD. I do get anxiety. I suffer in crowds where I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. I can't sit in a room without knowing, okay, there's the main entrance. Where's my second way out? You know, so once this came up and I knew that this was more than just, you know, hey, let's talk about it. We're actually going to be doing something about it. You know, this, you know, just like Devin said, you know, I was 100% behind it. I absolutely loved it because I've gone to events myself and have had to leave. And I can, because I had nowhere to go to just decompress. Being able to work with all of you guys to flourish this organization, a massive abundance of being able to grow. And even if we just help one person, that's a win right there. But we have the ability to be able to help thousands. It's a win all around. You know, a win for us being able to have people come in and sit and speak and talk, but also a win for the events, because that could draw in more people, with people realizing that they have a spot to go, they have a spot to chill, just relax and get back down to earth instead of, you know, narrowing themselves off. So I absolutely love what we're doing and where we're going.
Yeah, and we fully support the heightened security. So a lot of this has to do with events, with the mass shootings, and that's where a lot of large-scale events changed their rules about reentry. But what that did was unintentionally kind of targeted, example, veterans and things that just needed that moment to regroup, and it made them almost have that decision of choice where they had to decide to leave or not to manage their symptoms. And once they could leave and relieve themselves, they weren't allowed back in. So I think it's very important that we want to support a lot of festivals and facilities having great security, but we also don't want to target example veterans and things that where they just need, like Eric said, that 5, 10, 15 minutes. Because I know I'm the same way. I was never in combat or anything, but the way that I deal with high stress situations is I just need that 5 minutes to myself, and just taking that little break, a little bit of break is sometimes just enough. And it's crazy to think if you have a venue with 30, 40,000 people that there's nowhere to go. So that's exactly what we do.
Well, how about you, Miss Tara? How did you get involved with all us crazy people?
Okay, well, I have been a moderator on Facebook groups for about 2 years now, moderator/admin. And then I was in a Motley Crue group. It was about 80,000 people. And the owner freaked out. When they came back, we'll just leave it at that. So we started our own groups, us moderators that were in it. And I started a very small Dave Grohl group, and I was already in the Aftershock group. And so I messaged Reese and asked if I could share my group, because I kind of felt like, you know, that's polite if you're going to share it. And so kind of from that point on, one thing led to another, and Reese and I became friends, and we started talking, and she asked if I would like to be involved in this. And my family actually has a lot of history with even working with mental health. We had a race back in the 90s. It was called the Miracle Mile. It was all proceeds went to the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. So I've already got kind of a background in that. And it just sounded like an awesome thing. And of course, with the experience of my best friend who had to leave that one, you know, that one event, I wish there was a place like that for her. And especially with COVID, like you said, the anxiety will be even higher. Like, it'll be astronomical compared to what it was before, just being around people again. So it's really needed.
Yeah. And I think it's, like I said, more important now than ever for businesses to start thinking about community engagement plans and how they're going to reintegrate and do events. Because, you know, there's some people that say that like things aren't going to go back to normal, but I personally don't believe that. But the best way that businesses can set themselves out now is to start having these community engagement plans. How are you going to reintegrate? How are we going to do this? And let's start talking about that. And I think we're the perfect organization to partner with.
I feel like it was Eric that got me involved.
It was.
Yeah.
Eric told me about you.
Yeah.
Because my background for like 12 years has been corporate training. And, you know, we've done a lot of proposals and things like that to get stuff changed, you know. So, but yeah, as soon as Eric explained to me what the goal was, and it was so crazy because I remember having the discussions in the admin group and I'm like, wow, this is really great. And I remember telling a friend of mine who's a veteran, because he will have moments where, you know, that PTSD hits him and he's got to leave. He's got to go. That's it. It just shuts down. He has to go. He can't help it. And then there's that huge remorse afterwards. And then I know for me, I have high functioning anxiety, and I've had those moments at shows where I was just so overwhelmed and had to leave, or depending on what was going on during my day, I didn't even make it to the show because I talked myself out of it. It was a huge deal for me to jump on and get involved. And something that Reese has said that really just continues to echo with me is there are so many groups out there that they're about awareness and spreading facts, right? But in a sense, you're still a keyboard warrior. You're just copying and pasting and you're throwing it on your Facebook, right? But we have an opportunity to actually make a difference and provide something for people so that they can stay at that show with their friend. They can actually go to that festival. Because I know myself, there are certain things that I completely avoid because I know, A, either I'm not going to have a good time, or B, all the effort involved to go is not going to be worth it, or C, I'm really going to let somebody down if I have to leave, right? So
those factors all contribute to you deciding of, I guess I'm not going to go because not only will I disappoint people, but I might have this issue or whatever. And that's exactly why we started. And Eric made a good point earlier to where having that space as far as where somebody can go, you don't have to finalize that decision. And this is something that can't be approved at every venue, but it is something that is in the woodworks. And maybe this is just internal knowledge, but what we want to try to do is for a lot of groups, especially veterans that suffer with PTSD, is like Eric said, is they don't necessarily need like a backup, but they just need to know where exits and things are. So what we eventually want to do is be able to do like a 1 hour maybe tour or something early, like layout, provide these things. Because a lot of people that suffer from the things that we deal with, they just want a backup plan. Doesn't mean they're going to use it, but this is where the exits are. This is, so what we'd like to do is bring them into the venue, show them where our tent is, show them where the exits are, show them exactly what can happen and where they could go. And that's what I don't want to do a percentage, but that's what the majority need, is just need that backup plan and something else to do if they freak out. Because that moment when you freak out, that's when you have to make the decision to waste your ticket, disappoint your friends, and leave in your mind. And that's what we want to try to help. Our whole goal is to not make it a permanent decision.
And that could be something good for the community also, because that will kind of give them that set of instruction, something that they were used to having drilled into their head when they were in the military. And until you separate from the military, you don't realize how much you miss that. So being able to go and have a formation, and having somebody say, okay, you know, this is where we're at. This is where this is at. This is where this is at. If you have any questions, come find us. You know, just having that right there is leaps and bounds. You know, for, I can't speak for a veteran, but for myself, having that is, that's.
Would that make the difference of whether you would go or not?
Yeah. Yeah, having yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I think that could also help people who don't like to go to places by themselves, especially if it's a brand new venue. I remember waiting for a friend who, I mean, I love her so much, but she can't get anywhere in time. She can't. Meanwhile, I want to get there early. And I want to get there early so that I can calm those nerves, chill out, get that anxiety, get the lay of the land, figure out where everything is, get a good spot. And that's how I kind of like calm myself and get myself comforted. So going to a new venue by myself was really stressful. It's not as bad now, but there's things that I do in order to help with that. I'm looking at parking, like how far away is it from the venue? Is it a pain in the ass to park there?
But it's all in case if you have to leave in emergency, if things don't go how you planned.
Yep.
And yeah, that's the type of stuff that we want to have, is that backup plan almost, kind of.
And imagine other people meeting each other and making those connections. Because I know for me, through the Facebook groups, even if I was going to a venue where no one else was going to be, I could jump in the Facebook group and be like, hey, is anybody going to be at Bogart's? Is anybody going to be at Mercury Ballroom? So I knew that when I got there, I had somebody.
And I'm very glad that you brought that up and touched on that, because that's another big element of what we do, as far as not only do we provide that space. So we definitely don't want to come off as a hangout space where you're going to, you know, if you get too tired, you're going to go to get a drink of water. But if you are legit having issues that you want to deal with, anyone else that's in our tent is going to understand. They're going to get it. Nobody's going to judge you. So I'm very glad that you brought that up, because you're going to be around like-minded people or people that are experiencing the same things. So they're going to get it. You don't have to worry about being judged when you're in a crowd of 30,000, 20,000, 15,000 people, and you have a space to go to where someone you can look at and be like, I get it. That's exactly what we offer. And I'm glad you brought that up.
I had ended a friendship, and it wasn't that they were bad or I was bad. It just, we got to a point where we had outgrown each other. And one of the biggest things that they said to me was, you know, if it's something you're not interested in, you won't even go do it, especially if it's during the week. If it doesn't interest you, you won't even try. And I remember being so pissed off and being like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you have no idea how exhausting it is for me to get myself to go to a show during the week. Like, you don't understand everything that goes on in this poor little brain of mine and how early I will leave work so I can get, I mean, they don't know. But that's because compared to me, they're just very brazen and fearless, and they can fly by the seat of their pants and they're comfortable with that. And it hurts so much to hear that, but unfortunately it's just, they've never had that challenge, so it wasn't something they could ever understand, is that I had to pick and choose my battles for, yeah, I'll go to a show in the middle of the week, but is it something close to home? Is it a venue I've been to before? Is it a band that I have never seen? There's so much that it has to check for me to go, and that's just not something that they would understand, you know.
I understand that completely. Even on the weekend, sometimes I'll think about going out, and then I'll think, because I live in a small town and we don't have any, like, a lot of cabs or anything. And I'm like, okay, again, my family owns a business here, so I've got to keep it very professional. So if I go out, who will see me and, like, possibly mention that they saw me at the bar, or how am I going to get home? Like, how early am I going? Like, how late? And then by the time I'm done thinking about it all, I stay home. Because I've just planned and, like, gone through the whole night in my head.
And you've talked yourself out of it, right?
And then I just stay home. And it's usually the better plan. But now I've become, that could be a form of anxiety that I never understood before. Because I just thought I was a really good planner. But maybe that.
So I love that you say that, because that segues into one of our topics of you never get your first. You know, anybody jump in, but, you know, when was the first time that you realized that you had PTSD or depression or anxiety or autism or you know, some type of sensory overload challenge that impacts you being able to go out and interact with other people or go to a show or a festival? When's the first time that you come across that?
Awkward. Not always.
Volunteer or voluntold?
I don't feel like I have that anxiety when it comes to, like, I'm pretty comfortable around people for the most part. I can just talk to people. I'd say my main issue, like, we have something here called Winter Carnival, and thousands of people come, and I avoid it completely because it's just chaos, you know. Everyone walking in the streets, all the places are packed, and you just, you know, it's like, get out of here. I live here. You don't. But
why do they call it?
I never thought I'd become that person because I used to be the tourist. And now I'm like, God damn it. But anyway, I notice I get angry sometimes, like in a situation like that or at the mall. Like I think for whatever reason, concerts, because again, we're all like-minded people and we're all there for a purpose. Plus you have that focal point. I don't have so much the anxiety there, but I do in other crowd situations.
Nice.
So that's just something that I've noticed about myself.
And I don't know if anyone else has felt this way, but I've actually never really kind of suffered from any type of those issues. But I would say that COVID actually changed me. So I've actually always been very social. I've gone to a lot of events. I've always been around people, and I worked from home before COVID, but that allowed the court system to do a lot of telephonic cases, and I didn't have to leave my home ever. And I noticed the change of how I would act or feel comfortable around people, because when you're home so much and you don't have to get dressed and do your hair and things, and so much of your life changes, and the kids are in school and all this. And I have noticed that almost kind of uncomfortableness of reintegrating into society when you do go out, because you can't see each other with your mask and everything, and smiling and talking. And I've actually never had an issue with any type of social anxiety or depression things, but I hate to admit it, but it's kind of started from this, from having that isolation and kind of learning how to deal with people without being able to see their facial expressions is something that's very new to me, and it's something I'm learning to deal with, at least.
Yeah, I'm a very, very social person, so this is a whole different aspect for me, because, you know, you're limited the amount of people you're allowed to talk to, and, you know, you really can't go out and do crazy things. And, you know, I've always joked around with my friends, Deuce Bigelow prepared us for this day. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, the girl that wears the mask.
Oh my God, like, that's right. I forgot, like, about her. Sorry.
We've been prepared, you know, we've been training for this for a long time, and it's real. Like, it's, you know, it's just weird now.
Have you noticed the adjustment, though, from real life of, like, being home more with your family, being isolated, versus when you do go out and do things, even if they're normal, like grocery shopping, to where, because you're not out working in the environment, you have a different perception of what it's like to be around people? How has that changed your view or your integration of society?
It's kind of like a puppy getting a treat. You're kind of excited to see people. You know, I've always worked in the office settings. So now that I'm actually working remote, my wife works remote. So, you know, we're home a lot. Our kids is in school, but we, you know, we pulled him out because of what was going on with the numbers going up. But it's like, who wants to go see Civilization? We need milk. Okay, I'll go. I want to go see people. my wife's, the other day, my wife was like, I haven't seen somebody in 7 days. I want to go out and get it.
I'll go get the milk.
Yeah.
Found myself in the situation where, you know, my mother, she has a compromised immune system, a lot of health issues, and with my job as a instructor, I mean, we were having classes back to back to back, access issues, everything was taking a lot longer to happen. So for us, work got busier, and, you know, the majority of our people, you know, they were home and they were comfortable, and they got to sweatpants, no pants, whatever. But I had to show up. I had to go to work. I had to wear the freaking mask. And then if we needed anything whatsoever from the grocery store, I had to be the one to go and get it. I mean, it was a safety thing. And I would be like, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? I don't need anything. I'm good. I don't need anything. And then I swear to you, if I had $5 for every time, it was, I forgot. I should have told you we needed milk. I should have told you we needed this. I should have told you we needed that. And I'm just like.
Yeah, I go to the grocery store like maybe every other week. And that's mainly because I just would rather just, you know, get it done and have everything I need. I have not taken a break from people. Because I did not work at home at all during any of this. Our office was open. We're considered an essential business because we're security. So,
yeah.
But I will tell you one thing, the guys that couldn't go on service calls because of people being afraid of COVID, I was like, damn it, go. Like, get out of my office. I'm so used to being here.
Get out of my face.
Bustling around.
Just shoo.
Get out of my face. Please, but yeah.
So what has anyone thought about reintegrating? So there's going to be a point that, you know, we assume live events are going to reintegrate and happen. What are your thoughts about connecting with people that will need these services to attend events? Like, how do we connect with them?
I think there's going to have to be some sort of way to bring that awareness. In advance. Yeah, it's gonna have to be. I think more people are gonna be on edge too when we do go back. I think it's either gonna be the Hoover Dam springs a leak and it all comes down because everybody's gonna rush to go to these shows, or I think places are gonna struggle to get people to attend. So that could be a struggle for us to engage with people. To let them know that we're available.
And that's another good point, is another part of anxiety in about trying to reintegrate is there's so much misinformation right now, and that we don't have any type of affiliation or beliefs where it's just a space to go to. So whether or not you believe the intentions of what's going on, it's just about having that space. So does anyone have anything that they want to add?
Well, I want to thank everybody for jumping on here to pilot this with us and be a part of this new journey, and everybody jumping in head first with me, because I feel like I just kind of got everybody in a Facebook group and was like, okay, we're going to do this now. Let's do it.
I love it. Thank you.
And then I was like, okay, we're going to record next weekend. So I'm tickled to death, and I think our little sign off will be, you know, everybody hang in there. We are in this together, as Trent said, you know, keep on working on a clear mind until the next podcast.